Life goes on. For Peter and the other disciples, that was their reality. They had just spent the last several years following their rabbi, Jesus, around Galilee and Judea. But then he died. And then he came back to life. But now days had passed and he was nowhere to be seen. I guess people that come back to life have places to be. And so that puts the disciples in kind of a weird position. I mean, of course they are excited. Jesus has come back from the dead after all. But you still have to put food on the table. And with Jesus not right there and with no clearly laid out plan for the future, the disciples have gone home. They have left Jerusalem where they had celebrated Passover with Jesus and where he had been killed and where they had seen him alive a few days later, and they have gone back north where they were from and where they had first met Jesus. And I love how mundane it all seems. Sure, Jesus is back to life, but the lives of the disciples are still pretty normal. After the narrator tells us that this story in our gospel lesson will indeed have Jesus appear to his disciples, the story itself starts with Peter simply saying, "I am going fishing." And that makes sense. He is a fisherman, after all, and like I said, you gotta put food on the table somehow. And so he and the other disciples head out onto the Sea of Galilee, which is known as the Sea of Tiberias in the Gospel of John, but it's the same thing. Now, I am not a fisherman, Harold, but what follows seems to me to be what I would call a not very exciting, perhaps even frustrating night of fishing. Correct me if I'm wrong. After spending the whole night on the water, they were completely and utterly unsuccessful. Not a single fish. Frustrating? Yes, very. Then comes the well-known miracle. Jesus appears and he tells them to lower the nets one last time, but this time on the right side of the boat. And when they do, they end up with an enormous haul of fish. But the significance of this miracle is not really apparent until the next story, when it becomes clear that this is more than simply Jesus doing a neat trick for the disciples. You see, at breakfast, Jesus demonstrates the importance of Peter amongst all of the disciples. First, Jesus asks Peter three different times if he loves him. And Peter was hurt by the repeated questioning, almost as if Jesus did not believe him the first two times. But really what is going on here is that Jesus is metaphorically undoing what Peter had done on the night of Jesus's arrest, when he denied being his follower three times. But what's important is not just Jesus's questions, or even the turnover of what Peter had done previously, or even Peter's response of, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Because each time when Peter says that he does love Jesus, Jesus then follows up with the command to do his will by caring for his people. In other words, it's not enough for Peter to simply say that he loves Jesus. He also has to act on that love. Last week, we talked a bit about the unbelievability of the historical fact that Jesus came back to life. And I said that it was okay to be like Thomas, who had doubts. It is hard to believe, after all. But I also said that even with our doubts, we have to act on the belief that we ultimately have. And we have to follow Jesus's commands. And it's a similar thing here. The disciples seem to have moved beyond their doubts. Unlike on the night of Jesus' execution, Peter is able to say three times that he does, in fact, love Jesus. And the Gospel of John even goes out of its way to say that the disciples don't even need to bother asking who Jesus is, because by this point they have faith and they all know that it is indeed the Lord. But the Gospel of John is also very insistent that that is not enough. The belief, the love that Peter has for his Lord and Savior must result in obedience. And in this case, that means spreading Jesus' message and caring for his followers. But Peter and the other disciples must first be equipped for that mission. And that is where the significance of that first story about fishing comes in. You see, I find it interesting that when Jesus asks if Peter loves him, two out of three of the commands he gives to Peter are to care for his people, use imagery of food. Two out of the three times that he commands Peter to care for his people, he says to feed them. The first and the last time, Jesus specifically tells Peter to feed his flock/sheep. And even the second one, Jesus tells him to care for his sheep, which obviously has an aspect of feeding them. And this is significant because getting your meal was not a guaranteed thing in the ancient world, or even today in parts of our world. Even in the Lord's Prayer, there is the line, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so food and its scarcity takes on a metaphorical sense. To feed Jesus' flock is to care for their every need. It is to care for them spiritually, and it is to care for them physically. It is to literally give food to the starving, but it is also to give Jesus' message to the spiritually starved. Food in this culture is not merely a necessity for life. It is a necessity that people often have to go without. Indeed, even the disciples had thought that they were going to go without that particular day. They had just spent the entire night out on the boat fishing and had been unsuccessful. They did not have food until Jesus provided it. And that is how these two stories are connected. That is why the first story of Jesus providing fish for the disciples is more than simply a neat trick. Because Jesus does literally what he is asking the disciples to do metaphorically. Jesus asks Peter to feed his sheep, and Jesus had just done that very thing. And to a certain extent, this represents a turning point in the lives of the disciples. Like I said at the beginning, life goes on. And the disciples were trying to return to a normal existence. They had gone home. They had tried to pick up their careers where they had left off. But after this event, we find out in other books and in church tradition that their lives are completely changed. After this story, the disciples go out into the world to bring Jesus' message to everyone. Peter himself eventually makes his way to Rome. As I am fond of saying, when you are touched by the risen Lord, nothing can ever be the same. And so what we see in the second story is Jesus asking Peter and the other disciples to go out into the world to feed his flock. But this request can only come after the events of the first story. Because in the first story, the story of the miraculous load of fish, Jesus literally feeds them and he metaphorically equips them to feed others. By nourishing them with that miracle, Jesus has prepared Peter to be questioned about how much he loves Jesus and to be commanded to feed Jesus' flock. And that's going to be a difficult task. After all, as we learn in the book of Acts today, there are people like Saul that are trying to persecute Jesus' flock. But that's why I like to read these two stories in John together, because Jesus does not ask Peter to do something without first equipping him to do it. Jesus has indeed fed Peter so that he can feed others too. And we also are asked to feed Jesus's flock. We are asked to care for his people. And that does for us literally mean giving food to those in need, spreading Jesus's message, and opposing injustice. And that affects how we spend our money and how we do our business. It affects our charitable giving. And dare I say it, it affects how we vote, and it affects our lives in the public sphere. But like Peter, we do not go out into the world to feed his flock without first being equipped. Jesus feeds us too. It's not coincidental that our most sacred service is when we gather around the table, which we will do literally this time, because Jesus knows that we are only human. He knows that we are weak and cannot follow him with our whole hearts. He knows that, like Thomas last week, we have doubts and fears, and like Peter several weeks ago, we are tempted to deny Christ. And so he gives us this meal to strengthen us and to show us that he loves us. And we partake in this meal to show him that we love him too. But just like when Jesus asked Peter at breakfast if he loved him, it is not enough for us to simply say that we love Christ at this table and then move on with our daily lives. We must also hear what Jesus tells Peter after Peter says that he loves him. We must hear the call to go out into the world and feed his sheep. And that means hard work, because we recognize that this world is not right. We know that not all have heard Jesus' message, and we know that there is injustice. But strengthened by this meal where Jesus meets us, we are granted courage and wisdom from Christ, and we can follow in the footsteps of Peter and the other disciples and go out into the world and feed his sheep. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.